18 of Genesis 9. It says, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." Every man, woman, and child that's on this earth right now, if we could go back in time, we can trace our lineage to either Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Every one of us. That's who we came from. "And Noah began to be a husbandman." He began farming. "And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent." He went and grew some grapes. It takes a while. And he took those grapes and he put them in vats and fermented them. And it takes a while. And then he racked the wine, is the term. He got the wine off the lees, the dead yeast at the bottom, those carboys. And he bottled it, and it was good. And it was so good, he kept going with it. You know, got drunk, and he wasn't just tipsy. He didn't just have a warm, fuzzy feeling in him. He was laid up drunk, and he was naked in his tent. Verse 22 says, "And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went in backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, 'Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren.' And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cana shall be his servant.' God said, 'God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant.' And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died." This text here is absolutely beautiful. People say, "No, I was laid up drunk, and he got mad and cursed one son, and the other two, they just did what was right and covered him." Oh, what beauty there is here. What a story of the gospel we have here in front of us. And rightfully so, there's a lot of things that ought to be addressed publicly in this world. Drunkenness. We ought not be drunk. All things are legal. A believer's entitled to anything the Lord's made. We're not under the law, but not all things are expedient. It's not convenient in all things. In all things, we ought to use moderation. We ought to do those things. And there's so many people that look down their noses at somebody that drinks too much while they're popping pills. But they say you ought not to do that too much while they're drinking an 80-ounce soda or whatever, you know. Mankind looks at extremes and excess in all things to fill the lust of their bellies. And we ought not do those things. It's been preached too, the disparages of Sodom and Gomorrah in this text. And it's true. I won't comment on it, but you can read a little deeper into it. Something was done. Ham gazed upon his father. He didn't just happen to see him. He gazed upon him, and something was done, and Noah knew something was done. And he cursed him after. Those things are bad. And boy, we can sure get our heads nodding on that, can't we? We can pick whatever the Lord hasn't tempted us in and say, that's horrible. And Paul told them there in 1 Corinthians 6, he said, "And such were some of you." That would put us in the right mind, wouldn't it? If we're looking down our nose on somebody, we're not convicted in our sin. That's all there is to it. It's as plain as it is. This was Noah. This was God's prophet. Look there in Timothy 1 earlier, didn't we? We read that. This was God's prophet. And at this time, God's only prophet on the entire earth. This was Noah. This was the one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then the Lord came and told him about it. He said, "I'm going to destroy the earth and you're going to build an ark. I'm going to save you, Noah." Noah believed God. He obeyed him. He got to work. He built the ark, as he was told to do. And he was put in that ark. And he was sealed with pitch. Sealed into the ark with the blood of Christ. on the inside and the out. And he spent a year in that ark, fully provided for. He saw firsthand, those eight people, eight souls in that boat, saw firsthand God's punishment of sin. There was no confusion. Noah didn't have his doctrine a little askewed. He was a grown man. He fully understood what the ramifications of sin were. Finally, that dove he'd sent out, it come back with an olive branch in its mouth to Noah. And it landed gently on his finger. What a picture we have. God, the Holy Spirit coming with peace in its mouth. Speaks peace to our hearts. Speaks comfort to our hearts. And heard it land on him. Sticky finger. It landed right on him. God commanded that dove to come to him. What a picture we have in that. And then the Lord had Noah come out of the dry ground. And the natural man would have wanted to stay close to that ark. Could you imagine that? Once you walk 40 miles away from that ark. Well, everybody, that kept me alive for a year. Maybe we can just, as long as we know it's within an arm's reach. As long as we know it's within a day's walk, we might need that thing again. The Lord sent him out of it. And he didn't look to a place to plant crops. He didn't look for shelter. He didn't start digging a well because they needed fresh water. He built an altar and he sacrificed to God a sweet-smelling savor. He took all the clean beasts and sacrificed them. And he pictured Christ, our sacrifice, our propitiation, our bloody accepted sacrifice. And that sweet-smelling savor to the Father. It was accepted. And because God was pleased in his heart by this sacrifice, he put it in Noah's hand to provide. He made a covenant with Noah not to flood the earth again. He said, for those that I have seen the sacrifice, condemnation will not come to. That's what it meant. People scared death by the way. Well, it still floods. It flooded Tom, didn't it? He didn't say he wasn't going to bring floods. He said, I ain't going to kill you in wrath. That's what he meant. That's what it means. A covenant of grace, a covenant of substitution, a covenant of blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was going to be stirred up in Noah's mind often. How is it going to be brought into remembrance? He hadn't been given the Lord's Supper yet, had he? He hadn't been done these things. How is Noah going to remember these things? He's going to forget. He's a man just like I am. God gave him a token. He gave him a token. He gave him a rainbow. He said, every time you see that dark cloud coming, and you start wanting to know how far away that ark is, and you're going to have to replant these crops, you're going to see in the sky that the blood's closest to me, and all you're going to see is royalty. The violet. The robes of Christ. You're going to see His righteousness high and lifted up. And you're going to remember that I promised that those that He's died for will see no condemnation. What a sign. We have that. Several of us saw it this last weekend. Go outside and see a rainbow. The Lord let us still have that. We ain't got a tabernacle to go look to. And when you look up and you see a rainbow, well, you know what that means. That's a believer still has a token in our day. What a blessing that is. And I thought of this too. As a type of Adam, Noah was the head of the earth. That was the main man. That's the boss. He was in charge. Just to his family. But there wasn't nobody else alive on earth. He's the head honcho. In charge of everything. Given much responsibility. Much responsibility. Noah was a blessed man, wasn't he? What a blessed man Noah was to live through these things, to see these things. Have God speak to you and tell you. I love you, Noah. You found grace in my eyes. I'm going to make a covenant with you. And I'm going to remind you of it often. Put him through all these things. What a blessing that was. The Lord said that Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. That he was righteous in his sight. You're holy, Noah. He was a sinner saved by grace is what he was. What was our hope of being saved? There's so many brethren I know that struggle with assurance. God didn't say Noah was perfect for now. You're saved for now, Noah. That's not what he said, was it? What the Lord says is true. And what he does and says, he keeps his word. What he declares holy must remain holy. He doesn't change. He doesn't change. Was the Lord abundant in mercy and grace to Noah? Was the Lord tender and kind and loving and long-suffering with Noah? Here's the story we ought to get out of this text today. There was a righteous man, a holy man on earth, and he fell in sin, and he was exposed. He was naked. Someone accused him
of his sin. A great accuser came, whispering. And then someone else covered his sin. Does that sound familiar to you? Didn't we read this a few chapters back with Adam? If you're God, ain't that what happened to you? Ain't that what he's done for us? This is proof that the Lord wrote the Scriptures through a man, not man alone. Sin wasn't left out. It wasn't ignored. It wasn't pushed underneath the rug. It was on full display. Moses wrote of these things. Moses wrote of his death. Of his striking the rock the second time. He knew what he was. Jonah wrote the book of Jonah. Jonah ends with a question mark. What's the answer to God's question? Jonah wrote Jonah. Boldly tell. I'll tell you what I am. You're looking at a wretch standing in front of you. I'm a horrible, wicked man. Left to myself. But apart from the grace of God, I'm nothing. They admit that. Paul said these things was left in the Scripture for our learning. We have a lot to learn. We got a bunch to learn. What can we learn from this short passage? There's some things we can learn from this. Noah was just. He walked with God and he failed. He failed. One of the old writers said, "The best of men are only men at their very best. Patriarchs, prophets, and apostles, martyrs, fathers, reformers, Puritans, all are sinners who need a Savior. Holy, useful, honorable, in their place, but sinners after all." What's the highest title I could have? How far up the food chain could I move? A sinner saved by grace. John's got a wonderful article in the bulletin. I wonder if he worked at Public Works. After God saves a person, they still have an old nature with them. It doesn't go away. Paul knew of this. That's why he wrote in Romans. And it doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, how mature you are. The highest title you'll ever have is a sinner saved by grace. Noah was 600 years old. 600. He wasn't a feeble, weak man. He was strapping. He was a strong man. And he walked as a man that believed God in that world that hated him before the flood came. And by God giving it to Noah, he walked with integrity in a wicked world. He was a child of God and he acted like it. And he held true to worship. Do you know that? Everybody's worshiping. There wasn't no churches. There wasn't an absence of churches on the face of the earth. People was worshiping. They was dressing up every Sunday and doing all kinds of things. But he held worshiping the true God before the flood came. And after the flood came. What does this mature, wise, experienced man do? He grows a vineyard. And he gets drunk on purpose. It wasn't an accident. He's a grown man. He'd been around the block once or twice. He knew what was coming. And he did it on purpose. And he uncovers himself. And he passes out. All that any one of us need is a temptation. And the Lord to lift his hand from us and we'll act on it. And to think that you won't, you're grossly confused. The Lord needs to teach you something different. And he may just bring it to your front door. He may put a square in your living room to teach you something. And it'll be rough. It'll be hard. It'll be a good thing to know what our weakness is. Paul wrote to us in Galatians 6 and said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself." Because you know what you are. I know what I am. "Lest thou be tempted also." He says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." As soon as we start putting on airs, we're deceiving ourselves, we're lying to ourselves. Our old man doesn't improve with time. You can sit underneath the gospel for decades, and we can grow in grace, and our flesh is just as vile and as wicked as it's ever been. It's still in us. We're still in it. And we have a daily fight against it. A warfare against it. And some days are just harder than other days. Some days ain't that hard. Some days are tougher than others. But when we think we've got a handle on it, when we think we really got this beast dialed in, and I got a chain on it, trouble's on the horizon. Scriptures say, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Solomon told us, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Next thing we can learn, we never sin alone. Someone always gets hurt by it. And it can tarnish a man's witness in the gospel for generations to come. After the flood, Noah lived 350 years. He was 950. What does everybody know about Noah? He built an ark and he got drunk. What we do affects others. It affects our children, affects our generations and those around us. The last thing we know of God's prophet was his fall. What does everyone know about Jonah? Peevish prophet. Boy's quick temper, pop off at the mouth, disobedient ruffian. This boy would be hard to deal with. What about David? Oh, is that lady Bathsheba and his buddy Uriah had him killed so he'd take his wife? That's what we remember today. That's what our mind goes to. This should teach every person that hears it. Salvation must be all of grace. Here's God's prophets throughout time. And we see them. And we see their faults. We see what they truly are. And they tell you about it. They wouldn't bash away from it. They wouldn't cover that up. Oh, well, I'm not as bad as I used to be. Hogwash. They'd tell you plainly what they are. And they'd say, God saved me in spite of myself. Because that's how it has to be. Man can't do it himself. Clean living ain't going to do it. Noah, you could ask him a question. How are you better than all them people that just drowned in the flood, Noah? What do you think he'd say? Well, I get up early. He'd say, I'm not. Only God's grace made a difference. That's it. This shows us that salvation is all of grace from the beginning to the end. The whole way. All of God's servants throughout the Scripture, every one of them have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of them in this day, one you're looking at, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. That should teach us our need of righteousness, our need of the Lord, our righteousness, of our substitute. We need His righteousness to stand before a holy God. And of ourselves, we ain't nothing but naked, uncovered, and sinful. No righteousness of our own. Now, we're not to make excuses for sin either. Not for Noah's, not for what we did wrong. What he did was wrong. Shouldn't have done that. What I've done in the past is wrong. I shouldn't have done that. But thanks be to God for His Word. If I dwell on my sin, I get so low I can't look up. Oh, I just wallow in it. I know what I am. I know what I am. I read His Word in 1 John. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. Don't do it. Knock it off. You know better. Don't do those things. And if any man sin, proper translation is when you sin. It's coming. It's going to happen. You're still in this body. When you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. We have an advocate. We have a go-between, a mediator between us and the holy God that we just offended. And it's Him. Just like that rainbow. What's between us and the Lord in heaven? That rainbow. Christ's blood. His righteousness. His finished work. That's what's between us. That's what we look at. When a believer sins, and we have an advocate with the Father. And His blood will wash away all sin. Those things I could preach on, it's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Abortion's wrong. Shouldn't murder folks. Don't steal stuff. Don't lie to folks. If you got a job, work hard. I tell you all these things. What's the difference in any of them? Did it come short of the glory of God? Can a worm look down on another worm? Y'all in the dirt, ain't we? Every one of us. We're under the dirt. It's where we like darkness. Ain't no difference. What would it take to save the worst person you could think of in your mind? And you. Worst person I could think of is me. It takes the blood of Christ to save somebody, don't it? He has to die for them. He has to be their substitute. One more thing we can learn from this story. We need to give constant attention to the Lord's Word. We need to give constant attention to prayer. And constant attention to the preaching of His Word. Our Redeemer taught us to pray, didn't He? He said, lead us not into temptation. Because we don't know the difference. If you go looking for a yes, you're going to find it. That's all there is to it. If you can try to excuse something, well, the Lord made this and He made that, and He says everything's legal. Like old Jonah getting on that boat. Well, if the Lord didn't want me to go, He wouldn't have had a ticket for me. He'd have been booked up. We need to not be led into temptation. The Lord has to do that. And through that, through the hearing of the word preached, through seeking his word, we're brought to pray, Lord, you must keep me. You must keep me. We have a total dependence on the Lord for all things. All things. My next breath, I'm dependent on him. My salvation, my eternal security, my food, anything it is, I'm dependent on him. We never begin in the spirit and end up perfect in the flesh, do we? We begin in the spirit, we walk in the spirit, and we end in the spirit. Our flesh does nothing but sin. Now, the accuser, the curse and the blessing. Look here at verse 22. Genesis 9:22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. What Ham do? He published his father's sin. Ham took pleasure in telling his brothers about it. He didn't honor his father. He didn't protect the name of his father. It could be that Noah is probably chasing him over the same thing. And instead of having compassion on the head of his family, he spoke about it. There wasn't no billboards in that day. I got to thinking a lot about that this week. We was up in Canada and we saw a billboard against abortion. And across the street from a bookstore, adult bookstore in West Virginia, there's a big billboard up telling them what they was doing wrong and all those things. There wasn't billboards in that day. There's only eight of them. Eight people. It was a whisper. What does the scripture say about that? Whispering and rumoring and gossiping. Hey, do you know what happened? Hey, guess what? You know what Dad did? I don't want to say anything, but he didn't have to yell. There's only three of them. What may seem so harmless to us, God looks on the heart. And Ham revealed his heart, his true heart. How do we know what come out of his mouth? That's how we know what revealed in him. Ham was a God-hating rebel. He hated his father, and he hated his father's God. Well, he didn't do nothing that bad. His daddy was naked, and he's just trying to help out. No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. We see what happens, don't we? This wasn't a misguided teenager. That's portrayed often. This wasn't a young adult that's just trying to figure things out and coming to his own way. Ham was at least 100 years old. At least 100 years old. He knew what he was doing, and he did it willingly. Just as Noah fell into drunkenness willingly, so did Ham. There's always tares next to the wheat. There was a tare on that ark. Ham wasn't a believer. In this world, there'll always be wolves among the sheep. It'll always happen. There'll always be hypocrites. There'll always be false believers, chameleons, coming in with the right things to say, keep everybody happy. Don't offend nobody out there. Don't offend nobody in here. And there must be heresies among you. That's what the scriptures say. It ain't going to go away. As long as this earth is, that's how it'll be. The body of Christ, his local assemblies, they will never be rid of accusers. Whether in the flesh or in the mind, the accuser will always be with us. There was no repentance in Ham. No apologies. No begging for forgiveness from his father. It says in verse 25, and he said, Noah said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Even when Noah cursed him, it didn't even faze him. It didn't faze Ham. He probably thought, well, Dad's just mad. This will blow over. Man, he'll be all right. Get him some water. Get him a V8. He's a cocktail juice. That'll perk him up a little bit. This will blow over. God cursing Ham, just as he cursed Cain. That was a spiritual curse. It was a spiritual curse. Outwardly, it looks like they prospered. He cursed his youngest son, too, Canaan. Nimrod was one of his sons. Became mighty, it says. We'll look at that here in a couple of weeks. Babylon became mighty. Egypt became mighty. That was all his people. Sodom and Gomorrah, huge cities, metropolitan areas. Lots of commerce, business. Business was booming. But they were cursed. That's all Ham's offsprings. Just as that great accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, he bruised the heel of Christ, and it appeared to the world to be a great victory. But it was only accomplished in the Lord's will. It was only to magnify his name, to bring him glory. And Satan's head was crushed. He was cursed with him. Canaan was Ham's youngest son. That was What a picture. What was the land of Israel going to go into? You just read it. That land of milk and honey. That land that was built. It was prepared. Wells was dug. Honey was there. Beehives kept. Canaan did it. What's that? They're serving the Lord's people. He used them to serve Shem, and, well, at that time, Shem and Japheth. We'll see that in a second. His curse fell on the lineage of Ham. Lord's word says he will visit the iniquity of the fathers on all them generations to come. How true that is. Oh, that us fathers would bow to God and obey his word and seek him earnestly for our own sakes and for the sakes of generations to come. Here's the blessing. Shem is the father of the Hebrews. All the Hebrews come from Shem. Our Lord Jesus Christ came from Shem. That's three of them, right? Ham, Shem, Japheth. Japheth's the father of the Gentiles. All the Europeans and in that area. The Romans. And that's Japheth's offspring. Both of those picture God's elect. They both refuse to dishonor their father. They refuse to expose his sin. Because they too had their sins covered. They had their sins covered. They too had been forgiven much. They loved Christ. And they loved the ones that Christ died for. That was their father. That was their head. That was their brother too. And they loved him. They loved Christ in him. It says in verse 23, "And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." They didn't go out and tell anyone. They loved their father, and they honored him, and they kept their mouth shut. And what that garment on their shoulders, just as Christ's garment was on his shoulders, walking backwards with pity and covering our sins. That's what was done for them. They didn't go out and say nothing to nobody. Solomon told us in Proverbs 10, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." If there's a strife, there's a disagreement, a bunch of hurt feelings, and people gossiping, that's Satan's work. That's who's doing it. You got some bad thoughts and some bad things to say, and hating somebody or just whispering, "Hey, you know about so-and-so?" That's the devil's work. It's what it is. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. They acted like somebody who had experienced grace, didn't they? Shem and Japheth. They acted like somebody that had been loved first. They know something about forgiveness. They know something about grace. They know something about love. Aren't you glad God doesn't expose your nakedness? Doesn't take all the thoughts of your mind in the last hour and put it up on a big screen for everybody to see? Call the attention of the world to it? That he covered you in his own garment? That he bore your burden? True love from the Lord in a person's heart covers sin. That's what it does. Peter had experienced this. He wrote to us in 1 Peter 4, "And above all things have fervent charity among you." Have fervent love among you. "For charity cover the multitude of sins." Not just one, all of them. Because Christ loves what covered our sins. Where did these boys learn this? Where did they get it? Adam, he was perfect. He fell in sin. And his nakedness was exposed. He knew he was naked. And God slew a lamb and covered him. How did Shem and Japheth know that? Their daddy told them. Noah told them. If he's the Lord's prophet of a generation, I think he'd tell it at home, couldn't he? He'd tell them what the Lord did for him. Noah falls, was naked, and was covered by another. Shem and Japheth, they showed the conduct of a true believer. They'd been forgiven, and they forgave. They'd been covered, and they covered. They were loved, and they showed love. Gossiping and slandering people don't believe God. They don't believe his word. Those that whisper behind others' backs don't believe God. They have never been given a new heart, and they've never had a work of grace in them. That's what shut up to sin is. If you know, I know what I am. How could I say bad about somebody else if I know exactly what I am on the inside? Verse 26. "And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." What did God's prophet do? He didn't just bless Shem. He blessed the Lord God of Shem. Praised him. "And Canaan shall be his servant. And God shall enlarge Japheth. And he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. And Cana shall be his servant." Those three boys. One that sought to expose the sin in another. And two, a picture of God's elect Hebrew children and a picture of God's Gentile children. All saved by grace, saved by the love of God. Had a work of mercy done in them. Go in and cover, and their land shall be blessed. Jew or Gentile, bond or free. Japheth or Shem's. It doesn't matter. They're one in Christ, aren't they? While they're living in the same tents, they're one. They're a family. They're the body of Christ is what they are. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. That's a long time. Nothing else recorded, is it? And all the days of Noah were 950 years. And he died. That's the end of every man. We all have an end. And I pray the Lord would come to us and show us His mercy and grace. Show us our need of it. Show us truly what we are. Show us we need a Savior. We need righteousness. We're not righteous. We need His wisdom. We need His blood to cover us and our nakedness and our sin. Give us repentance to turn from ourselves and turn from our idols, which is ourself, to Him and bow to Him and worship Him and praise Him. Because we're all going to die. And you either die as Ham in your sin and your thoughts and your own way, or you'll die under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and see no condemnation like we saw with that rainbow. Wouldn't that be something? The Lord will save His people. There ain't a one of them going to be left out. There ain't a one of them going to be left behind. They're in His hand, and it's as sure as anything could be. Because He swore it by His name, He could swear by no higher. Well, I feel like I'm just laid up drunk. I'm drunk on myself and pride and everything else. It don't matter what you feel. Who's your substitute? You stand on your own? I don't want to stand on my own. No. I need Him. Lord, turn us to Him, Mark. Amen.